Good morning. He is risen. Now, I want to admit something to you. I played a little bit of a social test on many of you this morning to see a little bit of what your background was. I woke up this morning and I asked my wife, in the churches you grew up in, did on Easter would you say, he is risen, and then people respond, he is risen indeed? And she goes, no. So I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't quite sure what the background of our church was in particular in regard to this specific social custom. I know that as I looked back to my mom, as I was saying that, the Lutheran in her was ready to shout out, he is risen indeed, and she held back just a little bit. So, but it is just this wonderful proclamation that we have on Easter morning when we come together and we say, he is risen, and people respond, he is risen indeed. So let's try it. He is risen. I also want to let any of you know that I am not in any way trying to be offensive if I say happy Easter or blessed Easter. I know that many in certain groups of Christian, we have a tendency sometimes to say Happy Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A couple centuries back, one of the things that the Christians did is there was a pagan festival where everyone had Sunday off. And since they didn't know the exact date in the year of when it was that Jesus had risen from the grave, they decided that they would adopt this holiday and redeem it, changing the focus from what it had been of a pagan ritual to focusing on Jesus. And so one of the things that we must do with everything that we encounter is we must ask ourselves, can we accept this? Can we reject this? Or can we redeem it? And that is by far my favorite thing to do, is to redeem things for the glory of Jesus Christ. That being said, for my lengthy introduction, let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your name on high. We are so thankful for who you are and what you have done, and we are so in awe of the fact that you sent your Son to die and rise again. God, you are so amazing. And we want all of the praise, all the worship, all of the glory, and all of the honor to go to you today and every day. Bless our time together so that we would be thinking and worshiping you, and that we would be bringing glory to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do today is we are going to run through the Easter story as is found in the Gospel of John. I know that it shows that there are 20 verses here. We're not going to go through them verse by verse like we often do, but we're going to hit a few points that are found in the Easter story, that are found about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her." I want you to imagine yourself as one of the disciples of Jesus, one of his followers who loved him so dearly. As we looked at on Friday, we looked and we saw the Good Friday, the story of the crucifixion. We looked and we saw the horrendous treatment that Jesus received leading up to and on the cross. It was brutal. Imagine that you are Mary Magdalene. Imagine that you are a woman who everyone has written off because of your sin. And the only man who ever cared for you and loved you in the way that a real man cares and loves for the women in his life. not trying to get anything out of you, not trying to guilt you, not trying to pressure you, but just came and accepted you for who you were, but also at the same time called you to something more. And that you, as that woman, had watched Jesus get whipped and brutally murdered. You had thought he was the Messiah. You had thought he was the greatest teacher that the world had ever seen. And now he's dead. Even if he didn't do the things that you thought he was going to do, he had still loved you so much. So you went that morning to the grave to honor and respect him in the way that bodies would have been buried. You would have brought spices and incense and scents to go around the body of a loved one. Imagine that you are James or John. Imagine that you are the brothers, the half-brothers of Jesus. Now, I have several brothers in the congregation today, and they would laugh at you or anyone who claimed that I was God. Or claimed that I was perfect, claimed that I was sinless. They know better. They have received noogies and wedgies from me. They know that I am not perfect. But imagine that your brother had just been up on that cross, and you may have been there and you may have watched it, or you may have heard it as you talked to your mom, because she was there. You're not quite sure what to think. But you've heard he's died. Imagine the heartbreak. Imagine that you are Peter or John. Those are the two that we read about running to the tomb. Imagine that you're them. John had this experience where he was standing there at the foot of the cross with Mary, Jesus's mother, and Jesus spoke to him personally from the cross and said, "Take care of my mother. She is now your mother." And that very day, he started taking care of Mary as if Mary were his own mother. Imagine you're Peter. In this loud declaration, when Jesus had told you that you were going to deny three times, you said, "No, never, I'll never deny you. Others may turn away, others may deny you, but I will never do it." And then you get confronted with a middle school teenage girl. And all of a sudden, fear overwhelms you. And you say, "I've never seen him before. I don't know that man. I don't know what you're talking about." Imagine the heartbreak after the man that you have spent following for 3 years has died and you wouldn't stand by him. Imagine that you are Mary, the mother of Jesus, having just a couple days before watched your son die on the cross, one of the most brutal deaths that the world has ever seen. It is so painful that they invented a word on how painful it is. Excruciating, which literally means from the cross. Imagine that you are heartbroken, missing Jesus. Disappointed because you thought he was going to be the one to overthrow the Romans. You thought he was going to be the one who brought political freedom to Israel. You thought he was going to change things, and then he died. And then you start hearing whispers. Mary Magdalene was just on her way to go take care of a man that she cared deeply for and wanted to honor him after his death. James and Jude would, of course, be mourning the loss of their brother. Imagine, though, that your brother had died and people started saying, "He's not in the grave. Someone moved him. I can't find him. He's risen. I got to see him." Imagine that you're one of his brothers. And the excitement and the hope, but that unwillingness to quite believe. Because you don't want to get your hopes up. Have you ever had something that you desired, that you wanted so much, that when someone told you you were going to get it, that you said something along the lines of, "Well, I won't hold my breath"? Because you didn't want to get your hopes up, because it would be better to expect it not to come and it not come than to get excited about it, be thrilled about it, and then find out that it wasn't true. Find out that your dream was not going to happen. That's the attitude of Thomas. Thomas, quite frankly, is one of my favorite of the disciples. Yet he is called Doubting Thomas. This is the man that when Jesus said, "No, we are going this way," Thomas said, "All right, we go with you. And if we die, we die." All the other disciples were worried that, "We're going to get killed. Last time they tried to kill you, Jesus. Last time they really came after you. How on earth can we do this?" And Thomas said, "We will go with Jesus. We will follow him all the way." Imagine having that kind of loyalty. Seeing your Savior die. And then hearing that he is alive, even thinking that you're having a hallucination as you see him, and saying, "No, I won't, unless I have seen the scars, unless I have put my fingers in the places where the nails went, unless I have placed my hand where the spear went in his side." Imagine that you are Peter, who has denied Jesus. And Jesus looked at him right as he did it for the final time. Imagine the heartbreak. Imagine the women coming in, Mary Magdalene and some of the other ladies who have just been to the tomb, and they're like, "He's not there." You, like Peter and John, would have been running out as fast as you possibly could. With two thoughts in your mind. One, where could he have gone? And two, if they have moved him, we're going to whoop up on somebody. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the now adopted son to Mary, the mother of Jesus, imagine the excitement as he runs. Imagine that your son had died and you are Mary. And you begin to hear people say, he's not in the grave. I've seen him. Imagine what she would have experienced. Imagine the joy that each of these people would have encountered. Yesterday, when I was thinking about the cross, a thought came to my mind that is also true of the resurrection. Too often as Christians, because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is so fundamental to our faith, it is the core basics that we often lose our excitement about it. We often approach it as if we have just found a shiny penny that has fallen on the ground and it happens to be heads up. And we give it no more excitement than that. Shame on us. There is reason to be excited. There is reason to be happy. There is reason that when we say he is risen and you respond, he is risen indeed, there is to be excitement in our voice. Because he is risen. He has not just risen and then died again like Lazarus, or the many people who rose around the time of Jesus' resurrection. They came back to life, but then they had to die again. But not Jesus. And not us. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. If he has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is futile and we have believed in vain. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 is, if Jesus did not rise, then all of this is for nothing. But Jesus has risen and we should be excited about it. How dare us come and approach our faith, approach the resurrection with this just, Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, and I get to spend eternity with him forever. Almost like it's a punishment. I love 80s classic rock, and I'll tell you, a lot of the theology is pretty messed up. AC/DC's Highway to Hell, talking about that being the promised land. We should not approach heaven with the mindset that AC/DC or rappers like Biggie Smalls approached it of, heaven is just where all the goody-goodies go. Heaven is where the sinners who have been loved by Jesus and responded get to go. And heaven is going to be a party that is so, so amazing. I don't understand exactly how our bodies are going to work. I know that there are a few things that the way they work now, they're not going to work. We're not going to get those crow's feet anymore. We may get the smile wrinkles because we'll be smiling all the time, but I think that's about as close as it gets to the signs of aging. We're not just going, well, some of you may really enjoy some of the way that we gather together and where we sit in a pew and worship that way, but heaven is going to be so much more. It's going to be living together with Jesus. Living life together with Jesus. And that man knew how to party. All the religious people of that time said, he's a glutton and a friend of sinners. Thank God for that. He is a friend of us who are sinners, and he knows how to party, and he right now is preparing a party for the day when he resurrects our body. And those of us who trust in his sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins should be excited. Jesus has been raised first, and we will be raised like him if we only trust in him. I want you to be excited about the resurrection, not just this morning, but your entire life. Because for us who are Christians, this life is as close as we will ever get to hell. And unfortunately, for those who do not know Jesus, this is as close as they will ever get to heaven. That is so heartbreaking. Be excited about the resurrection. And please, for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of Jesus, do not encourage the idea that heaven is just one long church service with someone who preaches even better than Pastor Dan. But instead, that it is a great party with the best food and the best drink where we get to have the most full understanding of joy and happiness because he is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for raising Jesus from the grave. Thank you so much for the forgiveness that you have given us and the that if we trust in your Son, we will be raised too. Guide us and change us and transform us so that we show heaven to those around us, so that we point to Jesus in all circumstances. And we pray that your name would be glorified on high because you are the one who raises the dead to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Caleb will lead us in our invitational. I would love to talk with you if you are curious about who this Jesus is and what he has done for you and what on how you get to heaven. I would love to share that with you and to pray with you, perhaps for the first time. Thank you.